It's Memorial Day weekend, the first big weekend of the summer season, and plenty of movies are battling at the box office, from Star Trek Into Darkness to the third and last Hangover movie, and The Great Gatsby and Iron Man 3 are still holding on strong. Here's another one. Film critic Leonard Maltin is in Austin for a showing tonight of the Frank Capra film Lady for a Day. Leonard Maltin joins me now. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm very happy to be here, and I'm very happy to be introducing one of my very favorite movies. Oh, I love this film. That's why I said yes to coming. I mean, there are many reasons I said yes. It's nice to get to go to Austin and do anything at the Paramount Theater. Introducing a 90-year-old movie that still has tremendous entertainment value and relevance and brings joy to viewers is no small matter.
Who's in the movie?
Well, the names that won't mean anything to anybody but old movie buffs.
Well, I spent every Saturday and Sunday morning of my life watching 1930s films on UHF.
Wonderful. Well, then do you know Warren William?
No.
Warren William was kind of the poor man's John Barrymore, a very suave-looking fellow with a dapper mustache. And he usually played heels and cads in Warner Brothers movies of the 30s. And the early 30s films he's in are very much enjoyed by pre-code movie buffs. That's films made before the production code that are kind of racy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the king of those. And the leading lady is Glenda Farrell, who was also a very popular Warner Brothers actress who played a lot of wisecrackers. And then the real star is an elderly woman named Mae Robeson, who plays a character named Apple Annie. This is a Damon Runyon story. And people who don't know Damon Runyon or think they don't know who Damon Runyon was, I say, well, have you seen Guys and Dolls? Have you ever been in a production of Guys and Dolls? They say, well, sure. Well, that's based on Damon Runyon's stories about old-time Broadway characters when New York was a more colloquial town. And there were all these, odd and interesting and eccentric characters running around Broadway. And that's what he chronicled in his columns and in his short stories. Lady for a Day is an adaptation of that.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you. Famous film, 1930s glamour.
Yep.
Tonight's event seems like the kind of tribute to an old-time movie day, a famous movie critic. Classic theater.
Well, and it's directed by the great Frank Capra.
The really big movie experience of the old days.
Well, yeah, I think so. This film was nominated for 4 Academy Awards. It was very popular. It was made by Frank Capra and his screenwriter Robert Riskin just before they made It Happened One Night, one of the biggest hits and one of the greatest films ever made that swept the Academy Awards the following year. This is filmmaking at a very high level.
And some of his other movies are?
Well, Frank Capra made It's a Wonderful Life. That's his best remembered movie today because it's become a holiday tradition for many people on television. He made Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, which I understand they still show to school kids.
Oh, I love that movie.
As a sort of a civics lesson with
Jimmy
Stewart.
I still get goosebumps with
that. Well, yeah, well, you're supposed to, and you do. Capra was a great populist filmmaker, and that was his strong suit, was capturing the special things about ordinary people and making everyday people seem ennobled in some way. And he did it with a great touch and with a great sense of humor, too.
But classic films like this are getting harder to find, even on TV.
Well, thank goodness for Turner Classic Movies. They're kind of your one-stop destination for this, and God bless them. And they're people who are just hooked on that channel, devotees. I know people of all ages, not just older people, who that's their go-to channel because they know they're always going to see something at least interesting and something unusual, something they haven't seen before, or something that's kind of the movie equivalent of comfort food.
Well, let me ask you off point a little bit. Remember back in the day, Turner got really blasted for colorizing old
films?
Oh,
yeah, that's a long time ago now. He's put that long behind him.
I was wondering if he'd been forgiven or if he just changed that.
Well, he doesn't own the library or the network anymore. He sold out to Warner Brothers some years ago. But at the time, when he was the mouth from the South and the big Georgia tycoon, he and his people around him thought it was a really smart and profitable idea to colorize all these great black and white movies. And they took a lot of heat, and rightly so, for tampering with these films and kind of pandering to an audience that wasn't there. An audience that isn't interested in a 1935 movie in black and white isn't going to be more interested in it in color. They're just not going to watch old stuff. Now, I know a lot of people think that watching black and white, you know, causes heart seizures and, sort of a brain drain. No, no. In fact, it makes you smarter. It is the opposite. Watching black and white enriches your life.
Well, the repartee, the dialogue is so much faster paced.
Well, of course. I mean, they're witty. You know, they put a premium on wit in Hollywood in the 1930s, and we don't have much wit left today. If you go see The Hangover Part 3, you'll see a witless movie, and an aimless movie, and a pointless movie to boot.
So let's talk a little bit about how things are changing. You know, more and more moviegoers are skipping the box office completely or watching at home on demand, Netflix.
And yet, in spite of all that, and all those statistics are there, the weekend the new Hunger Games movie opens, everybody shows up. They've got to be there that opening weekend. It's Iron Man 3. You know, it's like, where were all the people saying, I'll wait for cable when Iron Man 3 opened?
Well, there's something about the movies that you just can't replicate.
Well, exactly. And it's a social experience. It's not just the seeing of the movie. It's a social experience as being part of the crowd. It's being able to hold your head up high Monday morning at school or in the locker room or at the water cooler, the proverbial water cooler, because that's what's in the conversation. Now, in fact, what's happened is the television is more the conversation these days than movies. And the movies that succeed tend to be these big event movies, what the in the lingo of the industry, tentpole movies that sort of prop up the whole industry. A film like Iron Man, you know, the profits from that are going to keep shareholders, you know, happy for a long, long time of the Disney company, but which owns Marvel now. But the truth is, that the films that are suffering are sort of the mid-range movies and the smaller movies, because a lot of people are staying home, and a lot of that audience that would be interested in those films are married with kids, where going to the movies is more of a problem or a challenge or a burden. It's not cheap to go out to the movies, and in some cases it's downright expensive when you get done with the babysitter and buying the popcorn and the soda and all of that. So, you know, they don't make it as appealing as they might to go out for an evening at the movies. But at the same time, younger people show up when there's something that they really just can't not be part of.
But one of the things that is very interesting that you've alluded to is the Frank Capra movies of the 30s wouldn't make it today because they'd be in that middle ground, you know, for the kind of people who are looking for more dialogue and less action.
Well, of course, movies have changed so completely. I just saw the Fast and the Furious 6, another enriching experience for the mind and the heart. That's sarcastic. you know, it's an okay action movie. I didn't think it was the best in that series. I didn't think it was all that great, but it's okay for what it is. But it opens. The opening shot of the movie is two cars gunning against each other on a winding road in South America. And so that's what substitutes now for exposition. They get around to exposition afterwards, but they want to open with something in your face. Movies now have to, like, grab you right away, instantaneously. And my daughter, who's now in her 20s, she was my living laboratory, you know. And when I would show her older movies when she was young, the toughest adjustment she had to make was to get used to exposition. The movies didn't start by throwing something in your face. They built like building blocks toward a goal, toward a climax, toward involvement in the movie and involvement with the characters and their situations and their predicaments. And eventually, she got to love those movies. But you have to start them young. You have to poison them really early to get that in the blood. But I hope the audience that comes to the Paramount tonight will get the same kind of tremendous satisfaction out of Lady for a Day that I've always had whenever I've seen it. And the first time I got to see it was in a theater with an audience at a Revival theater. And we all left that theater walking on air, walking on a cloud, because it made us feel so good. And there are very few movies today that actually make me feel good that way. Not just escape. This is more than escapism. This is about giving you a sense that life can be beautiful, that good things can happen, that there are dreams that are worth dreaming and goals worth aspiring toward. And that's what this movie and movies like it do.
What advice would you give to those young moviegoers about how best to enjoy a film today?
Well, the ideal way to see a movie is in a theater with a responsive audience. And that's still true. That it's absolutely as true for Iron Man 3 as it is for a Frank Capra classic. That's how the films are made. That's what they're designed for. I'm sure a lot of savvy directors now are keenly aware of the fact that more people will be watching their movies on an iPhone or some sort of, you know, mobile device or on a laptop or, you know, than go out to see it in a theater. But even so, they still, every filmmaker I've ever met still cherishes the theater experience. And so that's the best. Now, if you don't like the idea of people, you know, texting during the movie, or that sometimes the floors are sticky from dried up soda and all that, well, then find another way. Go off hours. Don't go at the busiest time. But try to see it in the theater because you're going to enjoy it more.
And it's great for getting out of the Texas heat, too.
Well, yes. Listen, you know, for decades, one of the prime allures of movie going during the summer was that they didn't call it air conditioning in those. They called it air cooled. Come on in. It's 30 degrees cooler inside. I love seeing pictures of old marquees that would say that. So some things haven't changed, have they?
No. Leonard Maltin, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
Leonard Maltin will be at the Paramount tonight at 7:30 to present Frank Capra's Lady for a Day, followed by a discussion. I'm Emily Donahue with KUT News.